The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to it, everybody. A very happy Monday to you. Kicking off another week here on Gwynn and Chris. San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Cello, Matt Scraby. We are in the Odyssey Palace Studios, San Diego, California. Tony Gwynn Jr., there he is. Citi Field. Is it still Citi Field? Did they sell it? Yes. Did they change it?
Nope. It's
still without Citi Field. Alerting me?
Without alerting you, you didn't get the update.
I didn't get the memo. Citi Field, home of baseball's most disappointing team, the New York Mets, and the Padres will try to keep things disappointing for the Mets. A three-game series starts tonight, and of course, this is it's a big day in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr., how are you, sir? We welcome you, and we also welcome the official new ownership of the San Diego Padres. Is anything feeling any different yet?
No, nothing's feeling different.
You haven't noticed anything yet, or haven't been?
No, just some closure. Finally,
it seems like
Padres have finally, literally dotted the I's and crossed the T's, and ink has dried now officially. Pretty cool. New ownership takes hold. Now we find out, you know, which direction the Padres head. And I think there's some excitement behind the new ownership taking over.
Yeah, I think everything we've heard, you know, to this point, and of course, I had a little press conference here a little while ago, so we'll try to hear some of that on the program. We only have an hour before we got to get it back to you in New York, Tony, for the ball game tonight, but we'll try to hear from the new ownership. They spoke a little while ago, but, you know, everything so far has been, hey, we want to follow in the footsteps and the dreams of Peter Seidler, and, you know, obviously they're going to put their own spin on it. Everybody does, but you know, as long as they're giving AJ Preller, Tony, a checkbook big enough to sign the likes of, oh, say, Luis Ranjifo off the scrap heap, we should be fine. This guy is unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if people realize what's actually happening before our eyes here. Hits a home run to kick off the scoring yesterday, and yeah, I looked this up, Tony. I tweeted it out, but Luis Ranjifo, since he joined the Padres, has an 884 OPS. I don't think there's a player anywhere who was on the trade market, no matter how much money they cost, no matter how many All-Star games they made, that is slugging and OPSing to that kind of percentage since the trade deadline. And to find this guy for $5, you know, sitting on a street corner somewhere waiting for his name to be called, it has been a fortuitous thing, to be sure.
So Joey Gallo somewhere, like, begging to be signed by the Padres, right?
Joey Gallo?
I mean,
well, he would
he's
never
a scrap
have
heap guy.
He'd never have an OPS of 884. I mean, to put 884 into perspective, that would slot him right behind Matt Olson on the Major League leaderboard right now. Matt Olson is a guy that could win the MVP of the National League. So,
yeah.
It's just, look, you got to be lucky sometimes, but as you said last week, Tony, AJ Preller, his staff, they do a lot of work on stuff like this. They don't just take swings in the dark and, you know, get lucky, because if they did, it wouldn't happen almost every time.
No, it does. At this point, it's not luck. It's not by chance. These are thought out moves that have hit, and he's hit on a ton of them at this point. And so, you know, Padres playing some good ball, Mets playing some good ball too. So
a little
this has been their best stretch of baseball in quite a bit of time. And so, and the winners of 9 of their last 12. So the Padres can't come in here. They got to play as well as they played in Cleveland, or they can come in here and get beat. So Walker Buehler on the bump today for the Pods. Padres seem to play great baseball whenever he pitches, regardless of how he pitches. They find ways to win these games that he starts. So a lot of things working in the Padres' favor right now, aside from, you know, Jackson and Toddy. It was nice to see Gavin get off the get another homer there last night or yesterday. Chris, you mentioned Renjifo continuing to blast balls. Cronenworth gets in on the action. So a lot of things moving in the right direction. Casey Mize, let's not forget about him. He was as efficient as could be yesterday. Everything that you would hope a trade deadline acquisition performs like, he's done that the last two starts. So a lot of things moving, flowing in the Padres' directions right now.
That is the good news. There's no question. The news that is a little more eye-opening is the fact that you're still just one game ahead, right, of the Diamondbacks. You're three games ahead of Miami. I like where they are. Everybody likes where the Padres are. But there's no room for taking your foot off the gas because these teams are right there. The Phillies are tied with you. So yeah, it's still going to be a great race. There's still a long way to go with the way the Padres are playing. You know, I was watching, you know, Skubal struggle again yesterday. Now, he only gave up one earned run. So his ERA didn't take a hit. But I think by the time he left the game, they were down 4-1. He hasn't won yet in three starts. It just guarantees and it just underscores what we know, Tony, which is there are no sure things anywhere, especially at the trade deadline. Everybody talks about who's got to get this and who's got to get that. The names may change, but the players who have those names still have to go out and perform. Padres so far have got, you know, I think have been okay. I mean, Robbie Ray, I think he'd like to do a little bit better, but Casey Mize has given him exactly what they wanted so far.
I'm sorry, I'm watching my man for the Mets, the closer or the bullpen dude who jumps in the sky and then
does he practice that in the afternoon?
I hadn't seen the clip of him doing it and it being a ball.
And the challenge.
And then he got it wrong still. That's hilarious.
I cannot get past the fact that this dude does this all the time. Like okay, first couple times, fine. But like every single time?
It's like a Mario Brothers movie.
It's crazy.
It's like somebody pushes the yellow button on the controller and the character goes boing.
I do love that
jumps up.
I do love that he challenged yesterday so confidently and he got it wrong.
That's hilarious. I'm sorry, Chris, what was the point you were making there at the end there?
Padres are hitting on trades.
Yeah, well, we've hit, you know, we've been pretty lucky on who we've acquired at the trade deadline is what I'm saying. And you know, other guys are, you know, still trying to settle into their new teams, and you know, it's not always easy, as the Dodgers are finding out. Oh, by the way, the Padres are only 7 games behind the Dodgers. I don't know if I should duck that in there.
We're following last year's
script. We're getting a little bit close here. Not yet close enough to really make it serious, but you know, look, 17-5 streak will take care of stuff like that. You know, you mentioned the guys who hit the home runs yesterday. To put Jace Bowen in there too, and Jace Bowen might have been the actual star of the game yesterday. I don't know how many runs he saved coming in left field, but you know, I remember stuff like when Craig Stammen takes you know, Sheets out and puts Bowen in, and then Bowen makes 3 great plays to save the game. Because next week when somebody says, Craig Stammen never makes the right move, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, you know, I try to remind people, well, that's really not always true. This was an absolute perfect move that played out and helped the Padres win that game. Jace Bowen had a great day.
Yeah, I don't know but what 3, but he made the one that
the
I
one
thought,
was great. The other two the were one, made a little the, more, the one, yeah.
The one changed the whole complexion of that inning.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't make that play, you got yourself a little bit of some issues. Like, it was only a 3-run game at the time.
That's right.
So wow. Can't think of a better word. A marbly move, right? For him to go.
Marbly.
Because if he misses and that ball rolls to the wall, there's action, right? But he makes a fantastic athletic play, and then my man comes up and goes Oppo Taco over the right field wall. Like, that's as close as he going to get to Toledo, right, to playing at home. And last day at the building, he has the best day. It was perfect.
Was the marble a reference to a body part or two?
Yes.
Something like that.
Right, that's what I thought.
I think someone called him Huevos at some point.
Well, he made it, you know, look, he comes up with plays. Look, the Padres come up with plays when they're winning games. I mean, the Saturday game was certainly almost an aberration when you think about the fact that Jake Cronenworth made more errors on one play than the team had hits in the entire game Saturday. But look, you know, they come right back. They get the shutout performance yesterday. They don't have to use Mason Miller at all yesterday. Another day to rest. He goes full tilt. I think Mordejón only threw 8-9 pitches yesterday. Should be good. Let's go back to Friday night as well, Tony. And you've got yourself the lead. 2 runs in the 9th inning. And it's Bradley Rodriguez who comes through those swinging doors in the 9th inning. And the Padre Twitter faithful lose their minds because all of a sudden Craig Stammen is the biggest idiot again. I don't understand. Does anybody just not think that it could be possible that Mason Miller was down for that game, which it turned out to be? But everybody just assumes that the manager's just forgotten what he's doing. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think, you know, what did Marshawn Lynch say? I'm about that action. Like, the idea of having a deep bullpen like everybody likes to talk about is just talk until you actually
need it.
Need to show it. And that was Craig Stammen saying, I know we got a deep bullpen. Mace not feeling perfect like we would want him to after a day off. Cool, we'll give him another day. And no sweat. We got Bradley. We're going to slot everybody down a spot. Jeremiah will do the 8th, and Mordejón can close it out. Bradley can close it out.
Yeah, Mordejón was really down, too, because he'd almost
Mordejón
gone 3 innings.
Down. Yeah, he didn't pitch.
Yeah.
He didn't use any of the last two guys.
I know.
And they did what a deep bullpen actually does, and that's perform when their two best guys – ain't available.
Well, it was the 17th or 19th win this year, maybe 19, where the Padres have trailed at some point by 3 runs. That was Friday night. And I brought this up last week to you, Tony. I said, not only is that impressive that the Padres have done it, but the thing is other teams aren't doing it that many times because they don't have the bullpen to hold the other squad like the Padres do. This is where it pays dividends to allow you to come back like that.
And that's where those guys that we just mentioned, Mordejón or Miller, cut their teeth because they're the ones that got to come in when the Padres are down and they're not in the 9th inning, say. You're going to use those guys to keep the score where it's at.
Yeah.
That's how you start to build up the confidence so that when it's your turn, you can go pitch in a closing situation. Now, listen, the 9th inning is the 9th inning. It's different than every inning. Everybody will tell you that. But you can't get no experience doing the 9th inning unless you're doing the 9th inning. And so there it is. Bradley was able to come in, and it looked like it was light work for my man. He wasn't tripping at all. And
I was tripping when the first guy squeezed one off the end of his bat and dropped it just out of the glove of Ty France off his glove for a double. I thought, this is a bad start. Bradley didn't seem to care. He just, give me the ball.
That's
I'm
what
fine.
You want. Low pulse. He talked about, you know, having the chance to learn from Robert Suarez last year when he came up for that little bit and learn from Adrian Mordejón and learn from Mason. Those guys don't ever really seem to be rattled, and so that's a good. First of all, it's a great sign for a young pitcher that he's paying attention like that already, and that he's been able to kind of acquire some of that knowledge from some of these guys.
Well, let's come full circle here in our first segment, Tony. Go back to the new ownership taking over, because to me it's interesting. This ownership basically agreed. You know, the first word of all of this basically came down in May. When it came down, they were basically signing up for a team that was going to the playoffs in May without any question at all. The Padres, I think, were 29-18. They were cruising in there. And then everything gets agreed upon and some announcements and some stuff leaks out. And now we know we have to wait for all of it to be confirmed. I don't think that they wavered the last 2.5 months, but I'm just glad that on the day they actually become the owners, they're back to having a team that's in the playoff hunt again, because for a long time there, it didn't look like that's what they were going to get.
Yeah, you know, Kwanza Jones and Jose Feliciano, I'm sure they did not waver at all. These are you know, big time.
Scraby was wavering. Scraby would have pulled his money, I think, in mid June.
Are we talking my $3.9 billion?
Yes, he would have pulled it. Yes.
I don't know if it's that easy, but I may have thought about it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I was happy to see that Sheil Seidler tweeted out today.
I did too. That was
she
nice.
She was happy, and she said that Peter would have wanted this team to go to people like Kwanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano.
No need to keep up the fight when the fight is over and it's time to move on. Yeah. So I appreciate
it. It was just nice to see that she was like, all right, you know, this is a good...
It's ending the way that, you know, you would hope something like this
instead
ends,
of some stupid fight that hangs over the team for like 5 years or something like that. And like, we can move on. Yeah, Chris?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to think of some other teams that have that kind of stuff hanging over them, and I don't know that the Dodgers apply, but I do know that the Dodgers have lost 12 out of 16 games, and even Dave Roberts is getting upset now.
Dodgers may have some ownership stuff hanging over them.
Oh, boy. Scraby would love to see the whole Mark Walter thing collapse.
Mark Walter's now shopping the Chelsea team that he has.
Dodgers are going to be last, but not least.
The rumors are that $20 million is $20 billion. I'm sorry, is what is under question for Mark Walter.
We just shouldn't even be going.
I know. I knew Tony was going to say that.
It makes me just
very, get you a little worried.
It's not even worried. It's just uneasy because there's just too many just weird things happening. Connections. This is a lot.
But
isn't
the number one this type of story?
I know you do. We know, and that's why we're trying to calm you down. But isn't the weirdest thing of the whole Mark Walter Lakers sale the fact that it happened in 4 days, and we're just now getting to the official Padres sale, basically 4 months after the whole thing?
It's not official.
The Lakers?
Yeah, because the owners still have to vote on it and everything like that. So they're in the same holding pattern as the Padres.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you with us Monday. Like I said, quick show. We'll get as much in there as we can right up until Sam Levitt's pregame show at 3 o'clock. Tony's in New York, the Big Apple, the Padres, and the Mets. Padres are one game up in the NL wild card after taking 2 of 3 from Cleveland. And the ownership is official. Glad you're with us on 97.3 The Fan.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
At short get-together, as mentioned earlier, Tony's gone off to get ready for the ball game. But a lively beginning to the proceedings today. Scraby is here alongside Bill Howe Studios, We Know How. All guests on the program, of which there will be none today, appear on the SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bank Banking, it's better. By the way, Scraby, I think you should talk to our old friend, our ex-friend, Sam Levitt, who now appears on the Braden Suprenant show.
Oh.
Before us.
Yeah, I don't book Sam because I
nah, whatever happened there, they like Sam a little exclusivity.
Every time I text Sam and ask him to come on the show, he's always like, really?
Well, we give him, you know what's funny though? When he needs to promote something or needs to be on, you
come
know.
Come on in, Sam.
Yeah, hey, Sam, sit down. Make yourself at home.
It's true. This is true.
But when we need somebody to come on and talk about the new ownership and some of the insight, you know, that he might have. No, he sells himself to the Braden Suprenant show instead.
That's true. And he also tells me not to use certain audio pieces so he could debut.
I'm disappointed
on his show
in Sam Levitt, so much so that I may not get out of this seat when it's time for the pregame show.
Yeah, right. You're going to be out of that seat before the show even's over.
Good point. All right. But Sam is coming in here whether we want him to or not with the pregame show in a little while. Padres Mets tonight and Walker Buehler. Trying to keep it going for the Friars here. By the way, if the playoffs started tomorrow, Scrabe, guess where we're all going?
L.A.?
Yeah. Dodgers are in the 3 spot. Padres are in the 6 spot.
I don't mind a 3-game series against the Dodgers.
I said before, if you're going to have to be, if you have to beat them, the odds are certainly better to beat them 2 out of 3
yep.
than to beat them 4 out of 7. It just is. Doesn't mean you can't do the other, but 2 out of 3 is like one shutout. And, you know, in another game, a ball goes through somebody's legs or something in two games.
Let me start that over. It could come down to who has the best closer, which we all know the Padres have the best closer.
Oh, there's no question. The Padres with the 8th and 9th inning, and now even the 6th and 7th. The Dodgers have been searching all year in that bullpen. Dave Roberts is like, you know, just praying that Edwin Diaz figures it out between now and then. They all wanted to take him out of the role after he was ERA was like 11. And Dave Roberts is like, got to give him one more chance. And the one he got the one more chance, they loaded the bases. And then he got the last out. And I'm like, you know, Dave Roberts is going to, I know he's won the championship, but he's getting a lot of gray hairs to win these things. But Alex Vesia is no longer, you know, the kind of wipeout guy. Evan Phillips hasn't been all that. Dodgers don't have that bullpen. They may have to put Sasaki. Well, they probably will. They'll have to put Sasaki back down there for the playoffs. Certainly don't need him to start.
No.
Got plenty of those guys.
No, they got plenty.
I mean, Blake Snell starting tonight. What did he do in the first game? 7 innings, 12 strikeouts, no walks. Oh, yeah, but he's been really hurt. Blake, I love you, but it's a little hard to believe it. No one else comes off the injured list like that.
Nope.
Everybody
usually
like,
it takes time.
Right. Everybody feels their way. 3 innings here, 4 innings there.
And I am 12 strikeouts.
Blake just like mows people down. You know, he may get hurt one more time before the playoffs start just to make sure he's ready.
I know that
it's really incredible.
We complain about the Dodgers, or at least I complain about the Dodgers.
That's a complaint
all the time.
I have for sure.
They have a lot of money that they're wasting on bad players right now. Edwin Diaz not living up to his contract.
Kyle Tucker
was
money.
Booed yesterday by Dodgers fans because he is not living up to his contract.
Well, there's no way he could. I mean, Kyle Tucker would have to win the Triple Crown, basically like Yordan Alvarez, in order to live up the ridiculous contract the Dodgers
paid like
gave him.
$60 million a year.
Who's leading the National League in hitting? Scrab, just checking in with you.
It's got to be Arise.
Of course, it's Arise. If you can get who's in second place, I'll
Otto Lopez.
Otto has fallen.
Oh,
it's now Gabriel Moreno.
Oh, the Diamondbacks guy,
catcher. Catchers don't win too many batting titles. He's second.
Speaking of, Hedges didn't hurt the Padres over the weekend.
Hit the ball hard there.
He did.
I think once yesterday, yeah. But he didn't. I think the Guardians missed a chance there.
Yeah.
They played Patrick Bailey. Patrick Bailey doesn't have anything to prove. Hedges would have gone out there with a chip on his shoulder. Padres making fun of him like that.
Oh, you know who has a chip on his shoulder? Andy Green, who is now the Mets manager.
That could be interesting.
I'm a little nervous about this series.
Well, there's reason to be nervous because all the games matter, and you could lose any game. At this level, I think we're all kind of clear on that now.
No Juan Soto, so that's good.
Yordan Alvarez, by the way, update 321. That is the best average in all of major leagues. Home runs, 36. That is tops in the American League, one behind Schwarber for the major league. And Alvarez, 88 RBIs, number one in the American League. Burleson took the lead for the Cardinals with 92. Drove in 2 earlier today. Cardinals beat the Reds 2-1 in the only afternoon game.
It's Monday.
That was a doubleheader makeup.
Oh, gotcha. So I was hoping that the Padres didn't have they were going to get the game in yesterday because
yeah, you don't
want
to go back
to
Cleveland. They might have had to go back on Thursday this week.
Do they have an off day?
It's the only time you can do stuff like that. Yeah. You'd rather not have a game hanging like a hanging Chad at the end of your schedule.
I mean, the Mets had to do that a couple years ago.
Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah, that's not. That's not ideal.
Not ideal.
So it's very good that they got the game in. Cardinals and Reds, they'll play later tonight in the regularly scheduled game. But right now the Padres are one up. Well, they're tied with the Phillies, but the Phillies get the tie break.
Yes.
So they would be the 5 seed. The Padres are the 6. And then you've got the Diamondbacks a game back. You got the Marlins 3. And you have the Cardinals 3. You and I saw something really weird, though, during while we're waiting to come back. Right now, check this if you're just kind of trying to picture the American League playoff race. You know that Tampa Bay's in first place. They would be the number 1 seed, okay? The White Sox, believe it or not, would be the number 2 seed. The Astros, even though they're 1 game over 500, would win the West at the moment. They'd be the 3 seed. You probably know that the Yankees and Red Sox are the best 2 wild cards, so they'd be the 4-5. What you don't know is who the 6 seed would be right now in the American League. Is it the Tigers? No. Is it the Twins or the Guardians? No.
All 3 of those teams gave up at the trade deadline, by the way.
How about the Rangers? No. How about the Mariners, who were supposed to be good? No. The wild card right now, the last one, would be the Orioles, who traded everybody away. They traded Rutschman. They traded, who are their pitchers they traded? Or 2 or 3 pitchers? Orioles have the last wild card spot. All of a sudden, Pete Alonso's sitting pretty. And you know what? I don't know how it's going to turn out. But right now, the Red Sox and Yankees would play in the 4-5, which would be, you know, pretty good. The Orioles right now would draw the Astros. They're probably better than the Astros to begin with.
Why can't the Padres?
What is going on?
Why can't the Tigers be in the AL?
Not something to work. You know, waste your time.
Are we looking at a terrible World Series matchup? Because we might have an under 500 team in the World Series.
You know what? Every time that's ever happened, the World Series turns out to be just fine.
That's true.
So, you know, I don't worry about it. You can look up a couple of them. I know one of them was this, you know, 1954, the Willie Mays catch.
Yep.
They played the Indians that year, they were called. The Indians won 100 and maybe 13 games, whatever. Set the AL record, ran away with it. Imagine how good the Indians had to be to run away from the Yankees to win the American League.
Seriously.
And then the Giants swept them. So you don't ever, you know, World Series are weird. You never
they
can totally tell.
Are.
Cubs got a big blow today. Swanson, shortstop, oblique, 6 weeks.
Ooh.
Heard it yesterday like on a swing. Not great.
Not great.
Sorry
at all.
For the Cubs. I'm not either. Maybe, you know what? Put PCA at shortstop. See what he can do.
Oh, he'll probably do great, Chris.
No kidding. He'd probably be making plays.
They would
like,
give him
the
gold glove for only playing a month.
Yeah, Dodgers have placed Wrebleski on the injured list. Yeah, they don't need him anymore. All the other guys are off the injured list.
Who did they put Glasnow in there?
Who knows?
Instead?
Paul Skeens' start was skipped. He's got an ERA of 5 over the last. Was it 26 starts? It's incredible that Paul Skeens could be pitching that bad.
They're thinking about shutting him down.
You know what they ought to seriously consider? You know, his miles per hour are down like 3-4 per hour.
Yep.
Number of 100-mile-per-hour pitches way down. I don't want to see something happen to Paul Skeens, but this is what's going to happen to Mizorowski. You just know it. I hope for the Brewers fans and their sake that he get the most out of him this year. That's why they should have got Scooble this time. Because I don't think Mizorowski is going to be around for too much longer. We do have to break. I'm sorry. Yeah. I do want to say one thing. Tommy John did pass at the age of 83.
Very
pretty
famous
legendary
guy.
Name yeah. in baseball. One of the great pitchers, should be in the Hall of Fame. If nothing else, 288 wins. Or just how about contributing his name to the most important surgery in the history of the sport?
I didn't realize that when you tore your UCL back in the day, your career was just over.
Done. Yeah.
Like, that is tough.
Done.
That is tough, but yeah.
All right, timeout.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
right, even though Sam Levitt ran out on us to Braden's show today, we'll let him do the pregame.
He won't even look in our direction.
Now he'll walk right past us when he comes in.
And then he'll be like, Chris, I need my seat.
The thing with Sam was he was all very, you know, needy when the Padres were, you know, suffering and hurting. But now
he's
now
the
that they're
the
back
town.
On top, yeah, he's just right on, you know, going straight through. Nah, we love him. He's coming in for the pregame show, Padres and Mets at 4 o'clock. And that's Jesse and Tony on the call. Tony was with us, of course, at the beginning of this, the Gwynn and Chris show. Padres, Mets starting tonight, also tomorrow, and then Wednesday morning game. Team will come home Thursday, Scrape. Friday, is it the Twins or the Pirates? I think it's the Twins first.
Twins.
Yeah, Twins on the weekend coming in. Do we have tickets to give away today?
You have to sign something? Your sheet.
So when are we going to do that?
Whenever you want.
We'll have to do it right at the end so okay. people can call in.
Okay.
Well, I could do it now, but then you'll be preoccupied.
That's true. And then, but if we do it at the end of the show, then...
It gets... Sue.
I don't know what to do. Actually, we'll
figure
it out. I got it.
Okay. This is a two-part question. Can we give two tickets tomorrow or no?
Oh.
There'll be two correct answers for this good question. It's a good question. There's two correct answers.
No, we have to give them out.
We get to give one today, one tomorrow.
You got to read what you got to promote.
Yeah, the tickets are going to be to see Luke Combs. Big deal. Petco Park. He's playing there on June 26th. 26th and 28th.
I mean, it's a long time out.
ticket information, lukecombs.com. That's next June 26th.
I was waiting for you to figure it out.
My goodness. You got 10 months to get ready. You're going to win these tickets. You're going to forget you won them.
Until they send them to you.
All right, people are going to call in. You're just going to have to find a way. I'm going to write the number, the answer down just for you. Okay?
Just for me?
Well, so that you know when people call in
okay.
what the answer is.
Okay.
I want people to see it on the chat, so I'm all slipping right. it over to you.
All
got
right.
it?
I put it on, yes.
All right, that's the answer. The question is 833-288-0973. You want to go see Luke Combs like 10 months from now. All you got to do is tell me which team won the very first AFL game ever played.
Oh, my goodness.
Which team won the very first American Football League game ever played? We are an American Football League city here, people. San Diego Chargers were born in the American Football League. What team won the very first American Football League game ever played? If you get it, thank you. You'll go see Luke Combs. And if you're calling in to try and win it, just be patient, because Scraby's going to be picking up the calls in and out of our segment here.
Please know the question.
Right. We don't have time, especially today, because you're right in the middle of the show when you do this.
Yeah.
We might even go live, which is scary, because then people, you know, say weird stuff.
All right. I'm going to drop everyone.
Oh, that a boy, Scrape. You're tough.
Well, I mean, they already called in before.
Yeah, they called in before I gave the question.
All right.
All right. While you're doing that, though, the big news of the day, not only the Padres in action tonight, the whole thing, but Major League Baseball did today unanimously approve the sale of the Padres to the investor group led by the private equity billionaire Jose E. Feliciano and his wife and business partner Kwanzaa Jones. They announced the approval after a vote. It was unanimous, as mentioned. The agreement was reached back in May, and the late owner family, Peter Seidler, $3.9 billion is the purchase price of the Padres. The deal is still contingent on the official closing of the transaction in the coming weeks. I believe it's pretty much all done by now. It does say in the release, the information did not... A big surprise, but some may wonder. Padres CEO Eric Grubner staying in his role, and General Manager AJ Preller staying in his. They remain in charge of the day-to-day operations. Did we get a winner over there?
Yep, PJ.
PJ, did he know or he did knew. He just guess?
Yeah, we got a couple. We got a couple guesses. We
but
got
PJ
a,
was on it, huh?
A Raiders guess.
Yeah. Well, if you guess an AFL team, you had a shot.
I wouldn't be able to tell you the AFL teams. Is it just teams in the AFC?
The original eight, yeah, they're all AFC teams. The original eight were the Buffalo Bills, the Boston Patriots, the New York Titans, and
didn't our president own that team?
Or? New York Titans.
Maybe not.
This president, no, he owned the New Jersey Generals or the WFL. United League.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the AFL was a little too early.
I don't know why anyway.
For our president. The fourth team in the East was the Dallas Texans, who became the Kansas City Chiefs. The Houston Oilers, also original. Dallas Texans, L.A. Chargers became San Diego the second year. Oakland Raiders, and the answer to the question, Denver Broncos won the very first AFL game ever played. They beat the Boston Patriots in Boston. So PJ got that, and he'll go see the concert. While you're writing down that info, here's something said by the commissioner, Rob Manfred, today. He said, Jose and Kwanzaa understand the unique place the Padres hold in San Diego, the powerful bond between the club and its fans. We look forward to the leadership of the Padres and working with them to build on the club's strong foundation. Sounds like GPT chat wrote that quote from Rob Manfred. There's no way Rob Manfred really
chat
said
GPT.
That. Chat GPT. There you go. Yeah, you know, I'm still learning. Here's an actual statement, though, that Feliciano and Jones made together in a statement. We are family first, and becoming owners of the Padres means joining an even larger one. We are grateful to the Seidlers, especially for Peter, for raising the expectations of what this franchise can achieve. Our ambition is clear. To bring a World Series championship to San Diego, and all the rest of it's just, you know, fluff on top of that. Win me the World Series. The rest of the stuff will take care of itself. Wouldn't it be something if they won it the first crack? Would you almost be like that's not fair? Like, we've all been, like, suffering for 60 years trying to win our championship. Padres have an opportunity. They're playoff bound. As it stands right now. All right, we have a couple of moments here to get to a couple of other developing stories in sports today. Sammy will get you all the rest of the baseball Padres stuff. You're back after the win by PJ on the Broncos, winning the first ever AFL game. PJ goes to see Luke Combs. PJ, you're going to forget. By the time.
Basically.
I mean, he's just.
I said, just keep a lookout for the email.
Right.
Next June,
he's going to get a note from somewhere. And he's going to go, man, that's what do you call it? Not trash.
Spam.
Spam. Yeah, he's just going to wipe that right out.
Luke Combs must be, you know, he's a big artist, but.
I know what you're saying, Scraby.
You're getting a year-long treatment. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. The Lakers sale, remember that? We started all that last week. Mark Walter.
Do I remember it?
Well, I know, but the fan, I'm talking to the listeners.
Oh, gotcha. It's a rhetorical question.
Yes. What is it? $12.5 billion. And, you know, these guys came in, Iger and Kushner, and said, hey, you look like you're hurting. Or we heard you're being under investigated for the FBI. Or we're just taking a shot in the dark and wondering if you might sell, although that one seems a little far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Walter immediately said yes. It took like less than a day for him to agree to sell his most prized possession. Hard to believe, but he did it. Well,
he would say the Dodgers is his most prized possession.
Yes, well, we'll see how long he holds on to them. Because apparently, as you said earlier, you're starting to get rid of maybe sell Chelsea now or his stake in that in the Premier League. But that's not what I want to get to. The big news in this today is that the Buss family sold its remaining 17% stake.
Yeah.
So Kushner and Iger get that, and that means no more Jeannie Buss.
She's out.
What are we going to do?
You know, I think it always happens like this. Some guy, a billionaire, just randomly calls up another billionaire and be like, hey, you willing to sell the Lakers today? Yeah, sure. Let's do it. That's how it always works, right, Chris?
How much are they worth? $10 billion. How about we give you 12.5?
Oh, done. I'll send you over the paperwork.
3-4 minutes? Yeah, I'll get I'll have my guy call your guy. We'll announce it tonight.
In all reality, there's something serious happening behind
the
scenes.
Something weird happened here. And I don't know why did Jeannie sell? There's no need. She doesn't need the money. The bus thing, they don't need the money. Why would they give up their little share of it?
I mean, it seems like having a 17% share in the Lakers is basically like printing money.
I don't get this.
I don't get it either.
I'd have to read deeper into this and get an explanation from Jeannie Buss, but I haven't seen one yet. But that seemed weird.
And Bob Iger's a Clippers fan, apparently.
Not anymore. Well, he might still be. Speaking of the Clippers,
they're in trouble, too.
Not really. apparently all the stuff that the Clipper, the NBA had on Ballmer cheating and paying Kawhi under the table, they apparently don't have anything.
It just went away?
It's not going away, but the NBA, according to all the sources, the NBA found no evidence at all showing that anything they charged Ballmer with doing actually happened.
I don't believe any of that.
I didn't say it's right or wrong, but they couldn't find anything. So either it was covered up beautifully, or the people running the NBA's investigation are idiots and they just couldn't, they didn't get anything.
I don't believe it.
I'm just reading the don't kill the messenger script.
I'm just saying, like, it's hard to believe that.
It's unbelievable that all of this stuff came out. And if it's all wrong, and it seems like for the moment it's going to be, can we apologize to Kawhi Leonard also for dragging his name through here and making it seem like he's a complete, utter slime ball when none of this apparently happened, or at least the NBA has no proof of it?
Uh-huh.
Read the story, Scrape. It's crazy. It says, look, the league has been looking for, like, what, 9 months to find? They had all these sources and everything, and Kawhi this, Kawhi that, and Ballmer this, and none of it. They got zip.
Has there been any political donations recently?
I don't know, but I'm just saying. I think an apology to Kawhi is in order.
I mean, could you even say...
Because Kawhi Leonard's name, yes, outside these circles and these walls where we love him... Right? Outside is like, the guy's, he's been taking money under the table. He's been doing this and that and cheating the system.
Is there like a defamation case that he could bring?
Does he need to?
I don't think he needs to, but once you defame someone, I would think that defame them with.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I know. Anyway. All right, that's that. A couple of more NBA or just basketball news. Thank goodness that in the WNBA this weekend, Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers faced off each other and put on a show for the ages, Scraby. They both put in 29. They hit one shot to, top each other down the stretch, and Clark's Indiana won the game. So thank goodness, finally, at least one story that talks about the WNBA itself. Last night, Caitlin and Indiana played Angel Reese in Atlanta. Came down to Atlanta with the ball, tie score, and the Atlantic player takes a shot from the perimeter, misses it. Angel Reese gets the rebound under the basket to win the game.
Excuse you, me-bound.
What? No, not this. This was an actual rebound because somebody else missed the shot.
Oh, gotcha.
She gets the rebound right there. Bank shot to win the game. Misses it. Angel Reese. And Angel Reese is like, oh, my God. And they have a great angle of her going like this and walking the other way behind her, looking and smiling as Caitlin Clark. It's a great shot. Caitlin Clark's team won that game also.
Was that on a fast break? Because I saw Angel Reese miss another like fast break layup.
No, this was a game-winning layup, like two seconds to go, and just bricked the layup under the basket.
Sorry to laugh.
Sorry, Angel.
Kind of funny.
But it is a little, because that's what she's known for, whether she wants to be or not, is that she misses layups all the time. And this time it cost her team the game. Gino Auriemma did have a good... I think that I'd like to see the WNBA listen to this guy. He's pretty smart when it comes to women's basketball.
We're just moving past the fact that, remember when he got all mad at Dawn Staley? We're just moving past it?
Well, no, but in this case, I'm moving past it because I think he's trying to help the WNBA.
All right.
And he's trying to explain that people do not want to tune into a league and be politicized. And the WNBA better figure this out. And thank you, Gino, because he's saying the same thing I've been saying. Scottie Scheffler ran away with the golf this weekend.
Yeah, biggest.
What was that? Tell me that it's a playoff,
it's
right?
The first
I don't understand
the
how it works. It's weird.
So
I know
each
Rory
week,
was upset, which I like.
Why was he upset?
Because he played terrible.
I didn't even know he played, to be honest. That's how bad he played.
Yeah, he was so bad. He was like...
this is the first round. So if you're within the first, like, at the top... certain amount, like 100.
You advance to the next round
anyway.
And
then the next round, it shrinks a little bit more, and then you have to keep playing your way into the Tour Championship. But they're ending it earlier in the last couple of years, just so they're not competing with football.
It says Rory McIlroy is, quote, lost after he finished 66th.
Wow.
In the FedEx Cup playoff. It made me feel better to see somebody shoot a 2-over-72 and announce that they're lost on the course.
That's what he shot.
I thought what I do is lost on the course. He thinks what he does is lost on the course. So I thought that was pretty funny. There was an incredible achievement in baseball this weekend that we shouldn't gloss over entirely. The kid for the Cardinals. And is it Baez?
Yeah, Baez, yeah.
Josh Baez. If you didn't see this, it's never happened before, and I don't think it's ever going to happen again. I mean, baseball's been playing for a couple of years now.
Just a few.
Baez became only the third player ever to homer in his first two major league at-bats. And then he took it further, and he hit it one in his third.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No one had ever done that.
That's awesome.
First inning, home run. Third inning, home run. Fifth inning, home run. 3-for-3, three home runs. No one's ever done it in the history to start their career.
This whole baseball thing's pretty easy, huh?
I guess so, except for the fact he's 0-for-6 yeah, since then. Three strikeouts. But he did homer in his first three at-bats.
I mean, you can't make up something better than that.
Yeah,
like
and you
the
can't
first
just
pitch of his major league
right,
career.
He homered on the first pitch, too, yeah, on his first at-bat. But, yeah, hitting three home runs on three at-bats to start your career, like, you can't, like, get lucky on that.
No, you have to hit
three home runs to do that. But the only other two guys who did it were, like, the two home runs was in the 50s or something. So this is like no one's done this at all.
I mean, this made so much news. So, it was on the Today Show this morning.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I got to say, very impressive. And then today, got a couple more minutes. The AP poll came out for college football. I have to be honest with you, Scraby. This is not intended at the Aztecs or anything. I will always support my team, my school. But I just... college football is beyond me at the moment. I just don't like it. I never thought I would get to that point because I think the playoff has something to do with it. But you got games that are coming up the first week of the year. Number one, half the players on all the good teams are transferred in from somewhere else. All of them are making more money than any of us who are watching the game. The college football experience has just changed and not for the better in my estimation. The only thing for me to root for or against now is the coaches. Like, you know, I can root against Lane Kiffin. I can root against this coach or for that coach. The schools and the players themselves, who knows who any of these teams have on their rosters.
It's true.
Everybody changes teams. A couple of guys stay where they are, and it's the same seven or eight teams at the top anyway. This is the way it used to be. So this hasn't helped bring anybody else into the fold. It's still Ohio State. It's still Oregon. It's still Alabama and Georgia. It's still Notre Dame, right? Texas. It's the same seven or eight teams at the top, and, you know, on and on we go. And who cares who wins in week one? They have a playoff now at the end.
Yeah.
And if they're going to continue to expand the playoff, team like Ohio State will be able to lose two games. And they'll say, well, we're still Ohio State. We got to put them in the playoff.
It's true. I mean, that's what Notre Dame was saying last year.
Right.
The reason they should have been in there.
Yeah, we're Notre Dame. And everyone else was like, well, yeah, you didn't beat anybody. Finally, that won out. But I don't know. College football has lost me at the moment.
I saw this tweet, and I cannot find it, but it was someone who went through the preseason poll from last year and how many teams ended up still in the poll, and there were like maybe 12 teams that weren't even in the poll at the year end. Like Penn State was number two in the preseason polls.
Yeah, they only won about three games.
Which we've talked about this before.
The preseason polls is under, we understand it because it makes us think that those games in the first couple of weeks are more important than they are.
Yeah.
But it's really an unfair advantage for somebody like Ohio State who can lose two games.
Yeah.
Well, we used to be number one, so we must be close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. Indiana won it last year. That was, I think it actually was good for football.
I think so.
Somebody outside the normal, you know, group,
yeah,
the normal
good characters
club,
like Cignetti and
yeah,
Fernando
no people
Mendoza.
Now and now people are starting to try not to like him and saying he's this and that. I don't know. I think Cignetti's kind of a breath of fresh air compared to a lot of these other guys. But you know, college football, I don't know. I'm in a transition phase and I'm kind of transitioning away from it right now.
It's not easy to watch,
and I don't like that.
It's
I don't want
to
do
watch
that
at all.
You know, because like Ohio State's going to play the number one. And anyone remember a player? I mean, didn't we have the kid from Carlsbad?
Julian Sain. I know he's back.
But is he still there?
He's back.
Okay.
He's at the top of the Heisman watch list.
He was pretty much up there last year, too.
Yeah,
and he actually looked the part for a while. I will say this, for the new Pac-12 fans, there are 4 week one matchups where Pac-12 teams are playing teams in the top 25. I say this because this is a chance right off the bat for a couple of teams in the Pac-12, you know, win a couple of these games and announce yourself. If you're San Diego State, you got to root for Boise State to beat Oregon. You got to root for Texas State to beat Texas. I don't think that's going to happen, but Washington State plays Washington. Oregon State plays Houston. Those are 4 Pac-12 games against ranked opponents. I don't know what's going to happen, because how can you predict anything with college football? You don't even know the rosters.
You can't.
But I would love to see a couple of those Pac-12 teams win those games. That would be very good for what we're trying to do here. And how can you take any sport seriously when Georgia, one of the greatest programs in the history, play Tennessee State?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. That's not even a it's almost a high school game.
Tennessee
what
State
are you doing? They're not Division I in football. Missouri State is in the playing a top 10 opponent. It just Abilene Christian is playing Texas Tech. I hate Texas Tech and that stupid arrogant coach who was going to bring the kid in and kept making excuses for it. But Abilene Christian? What is that? BYU got, you know, BYU, you never say much about them that I like, but they're playing Utah Tech. What is that?
Tennessee State is playing Alabama A&M. They're also playing Florida A&M.
Yeah, but they're also opening with Georgia.
Well, they're actually opening with Jackson State.
Oh, they're getting a warm-up game?
They're getting a warm-up game.
I mean, some of these games are ridiculous. Tennessee's playing Furman.
Furman in football doesn't make
sense. Is that a school or a person?
Furman!
Missouri State's opening with Arkansas, or Missouri, top 25, Arkansas Pine Bluff. College football, figure it out. You got issues.
These are just the payday games. For that small school, this is
I'm not worried about
funding the rest of their
year.
But
I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking of me and you as fans.
I get it.
Of the sport. Padres got to keep winning. Get the Mets coming in. We got, or not coming in, we're going there, but Sammy Levitt's coming in to get you ready for the game. And then Scraby and I and Tony are back for one more big hour tomorrow. I hope we can do it, Scrabe. We try to pull it off. Enjoy everything. For Tony, Scraby, Chris, thank you.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.